This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hello, friends. It's Mully and Ha on the score, and we've got a live sporting event to share with you. The Masters underway. And at this point,
it's a five-way tie for first.
Five-way tie for first.
Oh, am I talking to
You can't talk like a normal human.
All right.
You'll interrupt the golfers.
Well, when I did that earlier, I was accused of mocking the Masters, and I don't want to be accused of that.
You were accused of mocking
the
Masters.
I was. Text line's coming after me.
And you are mocking the Masters.
Well, no.
I was not.
If you had seen Mr. David watching Tom Watson hit the honorary first drive, you would have seen him. You would have known how he responded to the first home run from Matt Shaw.
It got me going.
Or how he got a PCA doing something on the field. You got fired up.
I'm a big Tom Watson
guy. I followed Tom Watson at several golf courses. I'm like, what?
I did.
It was Kansas City zone. Yes. You were so proud.
Well, it was one of the first things I did when I came to the Tribune way back in 2003. The U.S. Open was at Olympia Fields.
Yes. I had a friend who was a member there.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And
My
assignment of the day was to follow Tom Watson because he got hot, if you remember. And he shot a great round at the time. And so I followed him around. He captured lightning in a bottle that day, fountain of youth, if you will. And it was memorable because Tom Watson is one of those guys who's really likable and has been really successful. So when I see him, I remember that. Don't mock me. Now you're mocking me, the Masters.
I'm not mocking you. I appreciate what you love with Tom Watson. I have played Olympia Fields, and I think it was about like maybe the third or fourth hole where I may have three-putted, and I took that putter. And I have two putters in my bag, okay? And I slammed that thing in.
Just for occasions like this.
I benched my putter just to send a message to the rest of the bag
you
that we weren't going to have
bent it. Did you bench
no,
it or
I
bend it?
I benched it.
Did you break it?
I did not break it. It's still in the bag.
Okay.
And by the way, I bought those clubs from John Moon Mullen, and he shot like a 10 under. There's a 70 round in that bag. Just never won for me. But that bag has done it before.
Tough course.
You got to send a message to the clubs.
Well, that day,
I
don't really know about that. But Tom Watson shot a 65 that day. 565.
Did he really?
Yes. It was the opening round, 65, back in 2003. Some people, golfers of a certain age, will remember that. Dustin might even remember that. I'm sure that he was really locked into that major. That was live golf, live sporting event that day.
Dustin, how long have you been gambling on golf?
since the first time I placed a bet.
But you're interested in it beyond just the gambling
Absolutely.
Aspect of it.
Yeah. Learned how to play, you know, played the game with my grandfather, played the game with my dad. I've been fortunate enough to go to some majors, been fortunate enough to be at the Masters two times, had a very limited credential. I could not really leave the media tent.
He walked out once and they tackled him.
That's the guy.
I will say this, too.
I was right there when the famous shot at Medina when Sergio did like he ran and leapt did the jump to see my grandfather, and I were literally right there.
That's a memory,
right? And
that's
they had the little shortwave radio where you could tune in to, I believe it was on CBS. You could listen to David's favorite guy Jim Nance delivering the descriptions.
I like Jim Nance.
You're just happy he's no longer on the Final Four.
I'm not unhappy he didn't do the Final Four. Ian Eagle's tremendous. He did a great job.
Very good.
Did you see Ian Eagle and his son are both up for some award? And
it's amazing.
And they asked him, who is your wife cheering for? Her husband?
That
was great.
That's really funny.
Hey, we should let you know, in case you know how to golf, this is big news. Spiegel & Holmes will be doing their show live from 2 to 6 p.m. tomorrow at Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst. And you can stop by. You can say hello to the guys. You can watch some golf. You can listen to their show. There's also, wait for it, a hole-in-one contest giving you one swing for a chance to win $5,000.
Oh, Mike Maddox doesn't show up.
Mike Maddox is not allowed. He's got 11 holes in ones in his golf career, as we discussed yesterday. That's tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. at Lynx Golf and Sports Bar in Lindenhurst. It's all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be.
Yeah, the Masters is a big deal. I don't want to diminish that. I don't think I'm getting a fair shake here by the texters or by Dustin by saying or suggesting that I was mocking it. I was just having fun with it. I do respect it. I just don't have as much interest in sitting down and investing as much time in watching golf as I do other sports. It's not one of my favorite things to do. I do find it slow.
My old roommate, Kieran McWilliams, Alco was his nickname. He was a scratch golfer, is a scratch golfer. He's moved back to Ireland since this time. But I think his favorite thing when you went golfing with him was, if you turned to him and said, hey, what club did you hit from here? He'd be like, well, now that's a one-stroke fine to you. For asking, if I were to answer, that's two strokes. He loved obscure golf rules and how you were, just the sort of way that you had to kind of monitor everything that you were doing in a golf game. And I'm kind of like, it's you and me standing here. I'm a terrible golfer. I want to know what
you should be a better golfer than you are based on your name.
That's it.
Yeah.
When I get up there, based on my surname, I start a drive. I could be there for 45 minutes I'm absolutely certain that's the best drive I can hit.
Until you're very happy with your drive. Yeah, and you should be entitled to do that given your name.
Mulligan.
But now we're in the midst of watching live sports, and I don't know why our producer would want us to be excited about live sports being on because of what we're doing just now. We're doing a segment live on the radio, distracted by the live sports on the television.
We have a new leader, by the way.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
There is a sole leader at the Masters. It's a defending Masters champion.
You just interrupted me
Zach
to say
Johnson,
that.
Zach Johnson, -2 through -3.
The segment's done. It's just done.
Remember how distracted you were when they were filming Chicago Fire and Chicago PD?
Listen, that was during the
break. I was more upset about that.
That was during the break.
This is sports. Talk sports.
That was during the breaks.
And yes, golf is a sport. For those snickering in their cars, that golf is not a sport. Golf is a sport.
815, you are not alone, David. Golf is great for napping. It's great for a nap.
Like, all I know is that I've got enough golf gear from Flag and Anthem that I can go out there and look the part.
Yes.
Okay? Doesn't matter how I golf.
Yeah.
I look absolutely.
I could use some to enhance my game as well.
That's a request.
And no, that's more begging. That's what he does. We tried to get you to take something out of the box yesterday.
I was never offered anything out of either of your boxes. That is not.
Well, that's because it was too big. I mean, it would have been too big. That's all. I would have definitely given you all the shirts off my back.
If he wasn't so scrawny.
No, that's not what I meant.
I'm with you.
Stop misconstruing that. So who let's revisit this since we turn this into a golf segment.
Okay,
our Masters choices were. My prediction was Bryson DeChambeau.
You did.
He's got a degree in physics. Is that right? Did I read that correctly, Dustin?
Probably. Physics.
I don't like picking a live golfer.
PE.
Yeah, I don't like picking a live golfer, but I do think that
Yeah, that's where I was kind of.
Well, I know, but it's not. It's a great. He was also featured in one of these Netflix documentaries. Didn't we see a different side of him?
Yes.
That I think showed a willingness to change. So maybe.
And last year he was your day one leader, I believe.
He was.
And then
you tried to cash on that, and we had to tell you no. It's more than one.
That's
day.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
Because I was so lost and I have to ask for guidance when this comes to golf advice.
I was just
golf gambling.
Golf gambling advice.
We Dustin, you tried to jump in. Who do we assign him?
We just go in order.
Got Morikawa, which is a good pick. He
you guys
win.
Both picked Rory.
Are we going to get into that? By the way,
you both picked Rory.
What does that mean?
No, that's a good opportunity to do
the Morikawa stuff.
Why not?
So Colin Morikawa has notoriously been absent or unwilling to speak after rounds.
Correct. So he had a really tough Honda. I believe it was the Honda, and he was he had a lead. The lead fizzled, and then he didn't speak afterwards.
Right.
And the media was upset about that.
And Rory McIlroy famously. After
choking. All right. That's fair.
One of his biggest choke jobs.
Yeah.
He left without speaking to the media, which to me I think was unprofessional. Understandable, but unprofessional. And
sell the game.
Well, you want to promote. It's more about just selling the game. Because the people that are interested in the golf and what they have to say already are invested in the game. I think it's as much about a professional obligation. You're speaking to a fan base. And it's just... being mature about what just happened.
Okay, let me say this, that if I could interview anyone after a round of golf, he might be the guy I would choose.
Mm-hmm.
Because like most Irishmen, he's incredibly introspective, thoughtful, and has an ability to express all elements of his own story.
So many golfers are, though.
Might be the best.
He's very good at it.
He's very good at
it. Yes, he is. But would you agree, though? Golfers are terrific when they're explaining their thought process, when they're reliving a shot, when they're explaining what they're looking at. I think it's tremendous analysis that you're deprived of when they don't speak.
When Phil is participating in one of these things and he's talking about the game and shots, I could literally listen to that all day long.
See, now that's
there's tons of information.
A casual golf observer like myself will be locked in listening to those guys if you are reading about these rounds that they have, if they're willing to elaborate as much as a guy like Phil Mickelson does, a guy like Rory when he's engaged. So obviously you understand. In every sport, we run into that. Guys get frustrated. They want a cool down period. They don't feel it's part of the job. But really, it is part of the job if you're a professional athlete.
And I'm not arguing that, but I just want to clarify that my guy is Rory McIlroy. You can't have him. But because Dustin tried to sneak in, I then also took anybody whose name begins with an S, and I have a long shot of a Spaniard because it's my S theme. So I've got the two S's, Spaniard? and Roy.
Those, all the Spaniards?
I've got everyone whose surname begins with an S. Every Spaniard ever born.
Okay, but don't dodge this question.
And
what obligation does your guy Rory McIlroy have to explain his round if he has a bad one or if he chokes Sunday in the 18th hole?
Okay, I felt that when he stormed off, that I think that had more to do with a kind of a life disappointment that he failed to articulate. I think that was the exception to him being the guy I want to interview after a round. I think he's a very interesting, thoughtful guy. I think that he couldn't articulate it because he had just flat out choked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he just took his ball and went home. I don't think it was immature. I think it was just he completely fell apart. And he didn't have anything to share with you. He got in his car and he drove away. I don't think he'll do that again.
Well, somebody who's been as good for the sport as Rory McIlroy has, I suppose you do give him grace in a moment that was a weak one if he decided to do what he did. If this does not become a habit, and I don't think he made it one, you understand. I think what you're not afraid of, but I think what you, maybe you do fear this, but players – athletes, there's so many different ways that they can control their own message now. And it doesn't seem as candid when they go to Players Tribune and they pen an essay that explains their thoughts 2 weeks later or 2 days later.
Right.
Or they go onto their own right. YouTube channel and they're able to collect themselves and express, and they control the message. I think it's much more candid and much more real.
I agree with you.
And much more, I think, accessible yes. to everyone when you do it in the immediacy after a round.
And I do believe, and again, you know, we're a couple of former sports writers, but I do, so there's obviously a bias in terms of getting your story out. I do believe that it is a professional responsibility to be able to handle a brief interview period, especially with golf, where there's no one going after you. There's no gotcha stuff going on unless, you know, you have some horrible scandal we don't know about. But it's a different sort of ability to speak through a publicly a round of
your You're not being profession. Asked why you decided to I guess there are different decisions that you could maybe think are pivotal in any round that you may have to explain, but that does go with the territory. And yeah. I think you use the term, you're a professional golfer. And part of the professional obligation should be to explain yourself or to at least, you know,
I was disappointed in him when he did not talk.
Golf media has helped grow the game. You know, golf,
yes.
the golf channel, all the different networks, all the coverage of the sport is responsible in part for the sport being as popular as it has become. So as a golfer, as somebody who's part of that, you should feel maybe an obligation. And most guys,
yeah,
most guys do.
I agree. I also think that Rory is in a different portion of his life now than he was, what was that, about 4 or 5 years ago? He, like, remember him and his missus, there was a talk about
that. Wasn't that long ago.
It was more recent. Was it more?
I think it was more recent than that.
I don't even, COVID was 2 decades ago, was that?
But the golf reporter from CBS,
yeah.
Her name escapes me, but if you watch enough, you know who we're talking about. They would have these like hugs after his rounds, and then they would sit in these chairs and talk. They'd go through the shots.
Oh, I love
then,
that.
And then you like you the TV wouldn't cut away quick enough, and you'd see like a little smile and gleam in the eye. And there was a lot of rumor and innuendo and alleging
anyway,
that something was going on. But this is where it all started, though.
Well,
but this is part of it.
The point is simply that they did not break up.
And
they are
now
together.
They're back together.
And
right?
now. Poppy was out there on the course yesterday, his daughter. It was like the sweetest moment. We have a texter checking, and maybe Rory should have his daughter putt for
him. It was a cute moment. It's really cute.
And it was a cute moment. It was, and she hits this shot. It was extraordinary.
It was great. Do you think, Dustin, as a golf fan, anything, or are we past the fact that you're going to be missing something because Tiger Woods isn't there?
There's an aspect of that. You're always curious. I was curious. So they just Tuesday night, they famously have the champions dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There were 35
ex-champions.
There's 35
invited.
Yeah. 32 showed up. One of the three who did not show up was Tiger.
Yes.
And I wondered why. And the reason that is being given is that his surgery has not gone, or his recovery has not gone fantastic, and he cannot put any weight on the foot.
Oh man.
And I guess it's lots of steps to get into this specific dining room where they have he couldn't put the weight on the foot to get to.
That's sad.
Now, I would be surprised if he's not there at all this weekend. Like, I think you'll end up seeing him with Jim Nance in the tower or on television in some way, shape, or form.
You think he'll make an appearance on TV?
I do.
For the coverage?
I do. I do think he will.
That'd be pretty big.
Because he also, the last couple of years, has won a bonus for being good for the game, mm-hmm. like an ambassador of the game. It doesn't have to be a player that doesn't play. It can be a current or former player, but somebody that sheds good light, goes out of their way, and I think he's going to. I would be disappointed if he doesn't show up at all. But I guess now I understand because of the rehab.
Who will retire first, Jim Nance or Tiger Woods?
Hasn't Jim set a date?
2036.
Yeah.
2036.
And is that the 100th edition
yes,
of the Masters?
It is. Everybody should be so lucky to be able to name their retirement date 11 years from the date we're standing.
I was going to say, how old is Jim? I mean,
60s.
Okay. 67, 65 ish. So
That's
into
okay.
his late 70s.
Yeah, let him go.
let him go, like let him go on, or let him go of him.
No, no, I'm saying let him do it. Let's see him do it. Let's go.
I guess Saturday they're promoting that Saturday and Sunday on CBS there will be more hours dedicated than ever before.
What does that mean?
More coverage, like instead of like 10 hours, there'll be 12, or instead of 8, there'll be 10.
I don't have the list in front of me. Maybe you do know it, but they have people who are at certain holes.
Oh, absolutely.
They have
Vern Lundquist famously for forever.
There's my guy. Mm-hmm.
He retired.
Minwoo Lee.
Last year.
Minwoo Lee in the Lululemons. That's his warm up. He looks sharp. He looks like he's got it going on too. That's my dark horse candidate.
He looks too thin.
Oh, I've got a scoring update.
Here we go.
Okay. We now have a two-way tie for first.
Hold on.
Zach Johnson and Chris score. Kirk, two Americans, Kirk. Both minus two, both through four.
Okay.
It's Chris Kirk.
That's good stuff. Captain. It's riveting golf.
Dr. Jim.
It's very distracting having live golf on in the midst of doing a radio show. Just going to say.
Well, especially when you're admiring a man's Lululemon.
Very comfortable pants.
They are the most comfortable.
The second most comfortable pants.
Because Flag and Anthem is top of the chart.
There we go.
Flagandanthem.com.
That's better. That's the place to go.
Keegan Bradley, by the way, the Flag and Anthem wearer on the tour.
Keegan.
We mentioned it earlier.
Yep.
We are well aware, buddy. He's dressing like me, so he's got a shot. What? He gets to take a mulligan. I just gave him one. That happened. Okay, so we've got our
Big
guy
time.
Bigsy. Yep. We're going to talk to him. We'll talk some Bears, some positional stuff, some draft stuff. We got a lot to go over with our dear friend Brad Biggs. We'll do so next. Mulligan Hall on the Score.
Segment's done.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mulligan Hall. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you, Brad, because a lot of the stuff that you're writing about, you had a question in the mailbag where someone wanted to know if there are scenarios that haven't really been discussed about who the Bears could take with the 10th overall pick. And I found that really interesting because we had a conversation recently where we were talking about just different ideas, kind of outside the box stuff. And we got into the corners a little bit, and you talk about the cornerback situation. And, you know, I don't know how to feel. I don't think they're giving up on Tyreek Stevenson. I don't believe that, but I do think that this is a super important year for a guy that was shaky a bit last year, ran afoul of some trouble, obviously was benched after the incident with the Hail Mary pass in Washington, and then did not take well to that and seemed to really be impacted by it. So, you know, hopefully new staff, new coaches, they can get to him, they can get the best out of him. But Jalen Johnson is going to be apparently running around the field guarding the best receiver. Good idea. And I don't know if we believe that Tyreek Stevenson is going to be the guy that maybe they thought he was when they moved up and drafted him.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because they've got some depth at the cornerback position. And if they sell the idea that they believe new secondary coach Al Harris can bring the very best out of a young and talented Tyreek Stevenson, you know what? I'd sit back and watch that. Like, I'd be open-minded about him being able to play with more consistency. The question I got in the mailbag was, is there a scenario for that 10th pick that maybe hasn't been publicly discussed or kicked around in the media or has gone under the radar a little bit, I would have a high level of confidence that inside the building, the Bears are there are no like under the radar possibilities, that everything is being evaluated, which is a process that's ongoing. But in my answer to the question, I said, well, you know, one possibility, and I'm not saying it's a likelihood, but here's something we haven't heard a lot about. What about a cornerback at 10? Because at 10, potentially, you're taking the second cornerback in the class after Travis Hunter, who's a cornerback and a wide receiver. And if your grade on a cornerback that's available at that point, Will Johnson from Michigan could be a possibility, is you know, considerably higher than what you've got on an edge rusher or a potential offensive lineman that might be able to, you know, play tackle, and you're going to remain true to your grading system, well, maybe you go with a corner there. And then, you know, if you feel like you've got a really top-flight corner coming out of the draft, well, I mean, you get that position really locked down then, and you've also got some depth.
So, Brad, the players reported back to Hallis Hall on Monday for the beginning of the offseason program, and we heard from many of them a day later. What, if anything, held any significance to you based on what you heard from some of the Bears?
Well, I mean, I'd listen to Jalen Johnson, folks. You know, he's – I would advise fans and other members of the media probably to listen to Jalen Johnson when, you know, he pointed out that he's, you know, he's been through the off-season hype and he knows what that looks like, and that doesn't mean a thing in the regular season. We've talked on the program about the Bears hanging, you know, off-season championship banners inside the Walter Payton Center, right? They're running out of room in the rafters. You've got to go out and you got to play better during the season. You got to play more consistently, and you've got to win more football games. So I thought Jalen Johnson kept it real, and there is reason for optimism here. I like the head coaching hire a lot. I'm intrigued by some of the guys on Ben Johnson's staff. The moves in free agency and otherwise, trades to fortify the roster have made sense. But they've got to get better through the draft. They've got to get some impact players through the draft. They've got to draft and develop their young players. And they've got to get a better and stronger roster as well.
So we had this – yeah,
like,
sorry.
Hold on. One more. And then, like, I saw some people kind of made a big deal about Tremaine Edmonds saying, you know, they're in win-now mode.
Yeah.
Let's just press the pause button here and evaluate this. You've got a player
– Why?
– saying they're in win-now mode. Like, if a player says anything other than that, it's newsworthy.
Well, then – right? That's what Jalen Johnson is saying. He's saying, well, I'm not that excited. You shouldn't be that excited. We're just going to disappoint you anyway.
I mean, but a player saying we're in win-now mode? Yeah, of course you're in win-now mode.
Tremaine Edmonds did not say just we're in win-now mode. He said that Ben Johnson entered the room. You liked what you heard. He gets it, and he's the guy that we believe in.
Well, of course they believe in him, and they believed in Eberflus until – it wasn't the coach anymore.
I want you to tell me the Bears are leading the league in offseason victories. I don't need the leaders of the Bears to tell me to tone things down because it's too much hype. I want them to believe that they're one season away from going to the playoffs, or they're one season away. They're in win now mode. I want to hear that from the players.
Did you buy into the Justin Fields as my quarterback when they were, you know, three quarters of the way through the 2023 season, and it was abundantly clear to anyone without Kool-Aid glasses on that he wasn't going to be the quarterback of the Bears? I mean, did you want to hear that too?
That's a different scenario. That was in season. We had evidence. When you're starting a new regime, I'm okay with over-the-top optimism from players who are in there and believing that they're capable of doing things that they may not have done before.
I'm cool with him saying that, but it's like people look, they're in win now mode. Well, yeah, of course the player's going to say they're in win now mode. Let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see what things look like this summer, and will hopefully look a heck of a lot better, and they'll hopefully be a heck of a lot more competitive, and won't fall into the kind of traps and ruts that destroyed this past season.
I had no problem with the Bears staying with Braxton Jones last year because he still had a couple of years left on his contract, and you didn't know what you had on your offensive line. They made some moves, and they came out and said the offensive line was going to be better than ever and all that. But the reality is that they've now brought in three new starters on the interior of that line, and they've got a right tackle they drafted and believe in, and the left tackle will not be able to start training camp. He's going to be added as the year goes on. And maybe they're shooting for the season opener with him. I don't know how quickly he will be up and running, but it does worry me both that he is injured right now and that his contract runs out at the end of the year. And I think it makes it more critical than ever to get a left tackle. Now, I want to ask you about who that would be if you believe that Will Campbell would be there at 10, if he's moving or if he's set there. And I want to get your take on Armand Membau, the kid from Mizzou.
The right tackle.
You're familiar with him. Played right tackle in college, but there are people that believe he might be able to play on the left side in the NFL. That seems like a real reach.
It'd be a tough experiment last week.
Well, I got you, but it's going to be tough if you can't start the season with Braxton Jones.
Yeah, let's not rule Braxton Jones out for the start of training camp yet. Like, let's just that's a long ways off. I'd be so open minded. Obviously, he's not going to be full strength this spring, but with camp a long ways off, we'll see where that is. It's an interesting situation because if Will Campbell's not there, and some teams are evaluating Will Campbell as a guard, what are you going to do with Membau? Listen, there are teams that are looking at him. More teams looking at him as a guard than as a left tackle. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
A lot of times these college programs, when they've got a guy that's played right tackle for them, they're telling you without telling you that the guy's not a left tackle in the NFL.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's why, Tevin Jenkins was a right tackle at Oklahoma State, and he was not cut out to play left tackle in the National Football League. So it's interesting because it's not like there was this super left tackle candidate that was available in free agency that they weren't able to get. Ronnie Stanley re-signed with the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're aware of the issue there. Are there potentially some guys they could get in round two that would fit there? Josh Connerly of Oregon. I don't know how they feel about Josh Simmons at Ohio State, who's coming off a knee injury.
Kelvin Banks.
You hear some up and down things about him. I don't think it's their plan. I would be curious if they've completely ruled out the idea of using Joe Tooney at left tackle. I don't know.
Yeah.
I highly doubt that's plan A.
Yeah, I hope that's not plan A.
It might be plan B, but is it something that you can't discount? So we'll have to see. But, when you get Drew Dahlman, who, in my opinion, is the big addition on the offensive line. You get Tooney, you get Jonah Jackson, and you're, given the appearance that you're intent on building it from the inside out, can you really say you've fully committed to it when you basically flipped a couple mid to late round picks and made one big signing without using a high draft pick on your offensive line? Like, do you have to do that to kind of follow through on that process?
Good stuff, Brad. Thanks for the insight. Good
Thank
to
you,
talk
buddy.
To you.
Great catching up.
Have a great day, guys.
You too.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune.
Do you think that Jalen Johnson going with every number one wide receiver, traveling as they say, will be good for his career?
Ah, that's a really good question. I think that
have you seen the schedule?
We can answer that when we come back. I think that's an excellent question.
I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah, I think it's well worth discussing. We'll do that next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
We locked up the number one guy, number one on number one. So I mean, for me, that's what I'm looking forward to doing. That's what I look forward for the most. That's what I train for. That's what I work hard for. So, I mean, for me, it's just going to be about that, being ready to go out there and lock up, challenge guys, make things hard on the offense, mess up timing, and then the dogs up front, they got to eat. So, I mean, everybody just do what they do best. Dogs eat, and then the guys on the back end, we cover.
That is the voice of Jalen Johnson. It's Mully and Haw on the Score, and we were talking about what it means to have him covering the best player, the best receiver
traveling.
On the opponent.
They call it traveling. He called it traveling.
Following,
not recommended in the NBA, encouraged in the NFL.
Don't commit any court violations.
Yeah, on the schedule next year, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Jameson Williams.
Terry McLaurin.
A.J. Brown.
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Amon St. Brown, still pretty good receiver. Right?
Now, he's more of the slot guy. You doubt that he would get that kind of attention. But it's a fair question because I think I ask it not to be like this is a good development for the Bears because you want your best players on their best players. These are the matchups you seek, right? Mm-hmm. Jalen Johnson has benefited, I think, in some ways by being the guy who hasn't traveled and has benefited from not having that kind of burden or responsibility, and he's thrived. He also came into the league known as what, Mully? You remember? Kind of a cover two physical corner.
Yes.
Not a guy known necessarily for his man-to-man coverage skills. Now, those have gotten better, and they certainly trust him to the point where they're going to use him more. But is this a good development for his career?
Well, that's a really interesting question because the thing is, like, if you're playing Minnesota, they're not going to not throw to Jefferson because you're on him.
They're not. They're going to do it.
Name one of these great receivers.
CeeDee Lamb,
they will throw to him regardless.
As he goes, the Cowboy offense goes.
Of who's on him. So
Joe Burrow's going to target Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. So A.J. Brown's going to get the ball no matter who's defending him.
So those are chances.
So, that, you know, what he has benefited from as he has improved over the course of his career is the fact that he has played opposite guys that weren't considered as good as him. So when you were looking at where you were going to attack, you would attack the other corner. You wouldn't attack him. If he's traveling now, you gotta throw the ball to your best receiver. So you're gonna challenge him where he hasn't been challenged in a couple of years.
That's my point. And
that's
I guess that's the question.
But he
that
wants
is gonna
that,
be so fun
which
to
tells
answer.
You
every athlete should.
Yes, I
and
agree
every
with you.
Pro Bowl caliber athlete should want that kind of challenge. And it's great to seek it. It's great to want it. But has he proven that the doubt is removed? Maybe. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. He's played at a very high level. I'm not taking away anything of that. But it is fun to think, now he's going to travel. The Bears' off defense is going to be so much better.
If he shuts down Ja'Marr Chase, if he can shut down Justin Jefferson, if he can shut down Terry McLaurin, is a really good receiver.
He's an excellent receiver, and underrated receiver.
So I'm saying that he's, you know, we know the life of a cornerback, which is you can't let any play get to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just move on to the next play. I don't know that he's had to do that very much.
He hasn't had much failure. He's had more success than failure.
Yeah.
And he has to.
But
now,
he's been
beaten deep. Every cornerback has.
Yeah, but he's like their best defensive player.
Is he the best defensive player?
Well, I think because Montez Sweat took a step back last year, he would be considered their best defensive
player. For Jalen Johnson, it sounds crazy to say. If Jalen Johnson is going to be their best defensive player next year, somebody's got to be better than him rushing the passer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's tied together. If you give a quarterback time, no matter how good your cover corner is, the receiver is going to get open.
No doubt about it.
The receiver's going to get open.
Yeah.
And that's going to make Jalen Johnson look bad if he's trailing because he's had to cover a guy 5 seconds because the pass rush can't get to the quarterback.
But we all watch the hard knock stuff where he's asking Rome Odunze to stay after practice so he can get more work in. He seems like a guy that works pretty hard at his craft. Doesn't mean he's going to be successful every time out, but I think it's going to be a good challenge.
I do think it's going to be a good challenge, not questioning anything about his work ethic. We know it is stellar.
Yeah.
We know he's an elite cornerback.
Good.
One of the top five at his position, perhaps. But he's going to have a chance to prove it time and again all season long.
But I think what we're talking about with just that one question to Biggs, what we're talking about, should they get better at corner? You know, when it comes time to draft with the 10th pick, get the running game going. We get another pass catching tight end. Listen, get better on the get better at the pass rush.
You can never have enough.
Get better. You can never have enough, but you don't settle, and you don't like. That's the thing that I think we need to remember is the Bears have added 5 new starters, but they need about 5 more. Seriously, because they need to replace some guys that are starting. All right, we gotta get to Carter Hawkins. We're going to talk to Carter Hawkins next.
All right,
we'll get a chance to
Cubs.
Talk to the man running the Cubs, the GM Mully and Haw on the Score.